So you take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 1. Going to do a two-part teaching today. First part, we're going to look at the biblical foundations for Santa Claus. And the second part, we're going to look at the birth of Christ. What's that?
You found something
in the first part. Oh, I was going to say, we're going to finish, we just finished the first part of the teaching. We're going to go to the second part directly. Luke chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. We're just going to look a little bit at the events surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ, not in detail. But what I wanted to look at was the aspect of some of the great things that reading about that time period reveals about our Father God. There's some very wonderful statements made about our Father God in that record that I just wanted to look at today. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. That's quite a statement about a couple, isn't it? Walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. So they were quite old. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, so the priest would have a certain week they had to be at the temple, and he would execute his particular responsibilities at the temple, and that's where he was this time. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. It's quite a statement, right? I mean, I don't know if you sit here and you think about that record. If you were praying and an angel appeared right beside you, right? I think it might be a bit startling. As one man said, if God worked like that in people's lives today, most Christians would just die, right? An angel appeared right before him, right? It's quite impressive. Verse 12, and when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Understandably so, right? But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, which is the first thing angels always say, because that's why. Can you imagine the angel appearing? You go, oh my God, don't be afraid. Never notice the first thing I would say? Fear not. Because you know what's going to happen when an angel appears. You're going to be afraid, right? Fear not. It's okay, Zacharias. For thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of man and the world. No, it's in the sight of the Lord, right? I don't think God that much cares what the world thinks of his people. But it says here, John was going to be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. Pretty impressive. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So John's ministry was to prepare the people for the coming of Jesus Christ. That was his ministry. He was going to come and proclaim that there was someone greater than him coming. That was his job, his responsibility before God. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. It's a question. He asked a question. But we'll see later that this question had in it some unbelief. It's not a sin or a problem to ask God a question, as we'll see a little bit later on. But in this particular question, there was some unbelief in his heart. He didn't think it was possible. Because he was old and his wife was older, well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, Yeah, I often wonder how Gabriel said this. I mean, what it says here is, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these great. I almost think he said, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. How dare you doubt? That's me when I read it. I go, this is not a musical Bible or an emphatic Bible or an emotional Bible, so you make up your mind how it says it, right? That's just what I say. And I'm sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. So, you know, the angel knew that Zacharias didn't believe him. So as a result, he was not going to be able to speak. How that works, I don't know, right? Isn't that what the word says? That's what it says. That's what it means. So the angel appears, gives him this information, verse 21, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. You know, it's interesting to me, a lot of things in this record you'll read, you'll see that the people involved had a consciousness of God and spiritual matters. When you see a person come out of a church today, it took a long time, are you apt to think, oh, he probably saw a vision? No. What would you think? I don't know what you think. He fell asleep. Sermon was more boring than usual. You know, had to go to the bathroom. Right? You know, but here, it's interesting to me what it says there, right? They say they perceived he had seen a vision. Like, that to me is interesting. That means those people waiting outside were used to revelation, information being given to people when they needed it, right? He went in there, and they said he probably saw a vision. Right? Wow, you would not think that's something people would think, is it? Right? I read that and go, oh, interesting, right? Anyhow, perceived he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministrations were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days where he looked up on me to take away my reproach among men. Because in those times, the biblical times, it was a reproach for a woman not to have a baby or a child, right? So God had taken that reproach or that mark on her life, right, by giving her a child. That's why that's the reproach she's talking about. And the sixth month, verse 26, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Right, so this angel, first of all, he appears to Zacharias and tells him about this baby that's going to be born, and did what the angels say happen. Exactly as he had said, right? Exactly, right? Now, Zacharias wasn't really believing before, right? He wasn't. The angel himself said it. But later on, she conceived, just like the angel said. Right? So the same angel, Gabriel, goes now to Galilee, to a city, Nazareth, to a virgin, 27, espoused to a young man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And I don't want to get too much into the details of, you know, Mary's situation, but the word virgin here means a young woman. It has nothing to do with whether she had, you know, in relations with a man or not. It just means a young woman that was espoused or promised to be married to a man named Joseph. She wasn't married yet, she was promised to him. And that's all that means. Verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled. That's interesting, right? Isn't that what happens when angels appear? People get troubled, right? They get afraid. Here it is again. Gabriel must, you know, if Gabriel wasn't an angel, he was probably a complex. Every time I appear, everybody's scared of me. Right? No. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, here it is, fear not. He went to angel school, right? First thing you tell humans, fear not. Right. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Right. I can't imagine this happening. Like, you just look at all that God did to herald the birth of his son, Jesus Christ, right? Everything was revolved around that great birth. and sending an angel to prepare a man named John to prepare the way before him. And then the angel to the woman who was going to give birth to his son. Like, there's a lot going on here, you know, not to mention all the things that, you know, have been shared with us according to all the movements in the heavens, the planetary movements that are going on around this time, right? All the things are centered on the birth of Jesus Christ, right? You know, which today, you know, whether people are rocking around Christmas trees or, you know, painting deer's noses red or whatever they're doing, right? You know, yet, you know, it still is interesting that all this happened because of Jesus Christ, right? Whether they recognize it or not, I can't say much for that. But here we are. And the angel said, fear not. Verse 21, 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Right. So he was the direct lineage of David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. All the fulfillment of prophecies made in the Old Testament, right? There will be no end to his kingdom. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? Didn't Zacharias ask a question? Right? But it's interesting. So asking a question is fine. I mean, have we know of other men in the Bible who ask God questions? You know, oh yeah, right? Were they made dumb? No. You see, it wasn't the question. The angel knew what was in the heart of Zacharias, right? Here he knows what's in the heart of Mary, for the response is very different here, right? Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So that conception that was going to happen with Mary was going to be done by God, right? I know that, interesting, right? That the angel would appear. You know, he didn't say to Mary, Mary, what's wrong with you for asking that question? He just told her, and that's what's going to happen. And now, Mary's response could have been, you are out of your mind, right? But she didn't say that. Verse 36, and behold, thy cousin, let's keep going, Elizabeth also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Zacharias said, how is this going to be? Mary said, how can this be? Right, his response, with God nothing is impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Right? Very different response, right? He said to her, you know, that response, you know, should echo through time as one of the greatest responses made by a human being to the word of God. It's the same response we ought to have to the word of God, right? Bible says you ought to, you know, if you're anxious, pray to me. We should say, okay, that's just what I'm going to do, right? God says you need to get built up, speak much in tongues. Well, that's what you just what we ought to do. It shouldn't be, well, how could that possibly work? I don't know, you know. I'm not going to do that. I've tried that for 5 minutes. It didn't work, right? You know, her response, be it unto me. You see, the people surrounding the birth of Christ, there's great believing. There's great humility and believing. Right in the midst of tremendous pride of Herod and all the people around them, there's this great, we're going to see it more and more, this great humility to God and his word. A humility that we should learn from in our lives, right? Not to live a life of, well, I know better, but God, what is your will for my life? What do you want me to do, right? Where should I, what should I say? What should I do, right? And her response, okay, let it happen, right? Wow, what a response, right? Man, I love that response. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. By the way, if she was married to Joseph at this time, she would not be able to do that, right? Because the first year of marriage, a husband and wife were to spend together with no interruption, no separation. Even the man wasn't even allowed to go to military service that year. He was to stay at home and cheer up his wife. There's no way that his wife could leave and she goes for 3 months, right? You couldn't do that. So they were not married yet. She was betrothed to him. She was promised to him, not married at this time. Right. So she went in those days and went, verse 40, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. So somewhere in her lineage was Levi, because she's a cousin of Elizabeth, right, somehow. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So the babe, John the Baptist, literally leapt in Elizabeth's womb, right? Which is interesting. Like, what the things that are going on near the birth of Christ, it's just amazing to me, right? And now look at what Elizabeth says here. And she spake out, she's filled with the Holy Spirit, so what she's going to say is prophecy. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this that to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation was sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." Do you think this might be blessing Mary just a little bit, right? You know, look at those words that God gave to Mary, right? "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me the Blessed Virgin." No, that's not what it says. Right? It says blessed. Right? "Shall call me blessed." Right? Is that true? Here we are, calling her blessed. Right? "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." Look at all the great things these people say about God. Look at the reverence they had in their lives for God. Right? Day by day, living reverence for God. Not just the once a week or once every month or three times a year, but day by day reverence. She gives all the glory for this thing to God. Says, "Holy is my God." Right? You know? It's probably one of the hardest things to communicate. One of the hardest things for me to communicate to kids, to others, that your life before God is all the time, right? You live your life with God all the time. It's not just the times you choose. God is always there. You know, I was reading a book. A man said, he said that, you know, when you snub your brothers, sisters in Christ, or you don't talk to them, or you don't help them, you just snubbed or didn't help somebody who you're going to share eternity with, right? You know, just think about that, right? You think about, that's where we live our lives. We live with each other, brothers and sisters. We're going to be together forever, right? Ever, forever. Forever is a long time, right? I'm not sure how to say it. It's forever, right? We'll be together forever, right? So think about when we deal with one another. You're dealing with somebody you're going to be dealing with for eternity, right? I don't know where I got off that, but it's Mary. "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Here we go. Verse 50. "And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." Look at that. Look at what it's telling us about our God. It says that God is merciful to them that reverence him. Do you want God's mercy in your life? Do I? Yeah. Well, how do I do? I got to reverence him. I just got to love him with my whole heart, have a great reverence in my heart for him. And the word says that because of that, he will show me great mercy. Believe me, I need God's mercy, right? Jane knows that I need God's mercy, right? We need God's mercy in our lives. How do you get mercy? You just reverence God, right? That's what it says about our God. Verse 51, "He hath showed strength with his arm." You know, he hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. "He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree." Right? You think of people in God's word who were so meek to God that God exalted them, right? Joseph, maybe, in Egypt. You know, was he humble to God? Oh my goodness. Was he exalted? Oh my goodness, right? How about Moses? Meekest man of the faith. Look what it's telling us about our God. God wants us to be humble and meek to him. Allow him to exalt us, right? Moses, you know, "I can't speak. Leave me alone. I don't want to do this." Right? And the Bible says that God spoke to Moses as a man speaks to him face to face, you know. God and Moses, face to face. That's why he was so shiny. People couldn't look at his face, right? They spoke to him God's, can you imagine God face to face, and yet do we have even a closer connection today? Right? Maybe what's missing is the meekness sometimes, right? You know, it says God exalts those of low degree, right? Those who are humble to him, and he puts those that are prideful aside, right? Man, look what, this is direct information about our God surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ, right? Wow. Verse 53, he hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house, right? So she spent 3 months with her cousin, you know, maybe helping her in her last 3 months of her pregnancy, right? We know, you know, women know that the last 3 months, need a little help sometimes, right? Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. Isn't that exactly what God had said, right? By the angel. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord hath showed great mercy upon her. Listen, just listen to that scripture. Look what it says there. It says, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how lucky she had been. Look what it says. It says, how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her. Even the people in the community attributed that birth to great mercy being shown by God. Right? What would happen today? Oh, the medical practice. Wasn't that great? Aren't doctors really cool? And drugs and the fertility, all the things, you know. You know, it doesn't matter how a baby's born. It's always by God's mercy and grace, right? It's always him who deserves the mercy, deserves the praise for showing his mercy. And look, the neighbors said, oh, they've shown great mercy on our household. You know, you see how God was a daily part of their lives, right? And they rejoiced with her. Verse 59, and it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, No, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, there is nobody of that kindred, and that is called by this name, you know, the man supposed to be named after his father. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called, and he couldn't talk. And he asked for a writing table, and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all, and his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. His final last words, a little over 9 months ago, were doubting God. His first words, days later, praise to God. Can a man change? They say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I think he was pretty old. Yeah, what did he do? He opened his mouth, and the first thing he does is he praises God, right? Wow. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout the hill country of Judea. Everybody heard about this, right? And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit, just the way Elizabeth was filled, just the way Mary was filled before they prophesied words from God, and prophesied, there it is, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Look at the words from God, right? What great blessing and glory to God. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the... Can you just see him? He's prophesying, and he grabs the baby and holds him up, right? And thou, child, speaking to the child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Can you imagine the joy in that household? A little baby boy born, right, after all those years, right? Man, and he just prophesied over this son. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. It had been 400 years since the last prophet Malachi had spoken and given any light to that generation. And so the day spring, that, you know, that new light, the new light dawning, was going to visit them to shed, to give light, verse 79, to them that sit in darkness. Finally, a prophet of the Lord had been born. Like, it's hard for us to understand how significant this was. 400 years had passed. There has been no prophet that we know of, right, that was documented since Malachi, and now John was being born, right? Finally, light was going to be given to the generation. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed or registered. And this taxing or registration was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. That's where David was from. That's why Bethlehem was called the city of David. It was also the city for Mary. She was also of the same line, because he was of the house and lineage of David. To be taxed or registered with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Now, we won't read Matthew, but if you read Matthew, by this time, Joseph and Mary had gotten married. They were married. And Joseph had discovered that Mary had a child. She was with child, but he had never had relations with her. Right? And the same angel, who, you know, quite active, had appeared to Joseph and said, "Don't be afraid. That's what being born in her is of the Holy Spirit. So please take your wife onto you." Right? So he had done that. And so that's why now they are husband and wife, and they're traveling together to the city of David, or Bethlehem, to be registered. Now, there's some reference to where they actually stayed. There's some remote chance that the inn that they stayed at, their stable or inn or khan, whatever they call it, they stayed at, was actually owned by one of David's relatives way back. So it was literally the house of David. Like, there's some, they're not sure about that, but there's some indication to that effect. Verse 6, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." You know, and then at the time when a child was born, they would perform two things to the child. And one thing they would do is they would salt the child, and the other thing they would do is swaddle the child. To take the little child in a little basin, you know, which again, when we watch Glory to God in the Highest, we see that in that little video thing that we have. But they take the child and they bathe him in a little bit of salt, indicating that the man's words will be salted, which means he would always speak the truth. That's what you mean to bathe the son in water, in salt water. And then they would also take little strips of cloth and wrap the baby tightly in strips of cloth, leaving his face open, and hold his limbs straight to indicate that child would walk straightly all his days, right, and would walk for the Lord. And that's what they did to this baby. Verse 8, "And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord," which I always think is a strange name for an angel. Anyhow, never mind. "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." I told you, the angel's getting complex. Everywhere he shows up, they're afraid of him, right? You know, and this angel now appears to shepherds. You know, I'm sure these shepherds were the lead shepherds in Herod's army, right? They were the head shepherds of the governor of Judea, right? Now, they were shepherds, right? Shepherds, guys watching the flock. They're not even named, right? God sent angels. How crazy is God, right? How isn't he foolish to send angels, some unnamed shepherd, right? You know, and interesting, isn't it? God sent angel to shepherds on the field, unnamed shepherds, right? Remember what they said in the last prophecy? He exalts them of low degree. Those who are humble to him, right? These humble shepherds out in the middle of the, you know, fields, grazing their sheep. Neat. And the angel said unto them, here we go again, fear not. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And all those Charlie Brown fans, tune in now. This is the time. Linus on the stage with his blanket. And the angel said unto them, and for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Right? You know, so it tells these angels, it tells these shepherds that the Savior is born, right? And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, that the Lord hath made known unto us. How do we know they were humble? The angels said, do this, this here. As soon as the angels, let's go do it, right? You know, be it unto me according to thy word, right? The humility. These men were humble. God said, go look at the child. They go, let's go, right? Man, I love it. I think it's, God is so great how he works, you know, in the humble hearts. You know, you think this little fellowship here in Almont, or a little fellowship in Boston, or wherever you have a little fellowship where God's word is being made known to people, wherever a person is standing, you know, has the scriptures, the word of God, can be humble. You think that, you know, you think we need the 5,000 people filled cathedrals, right? Here it's lonely shepherds. A whole host of angels appear to shepherds in a field, right? How important is it for us to be humble to our God, right? To be receptive of what God wants for us, right? Man, I read this, you know, it makes you want to cry, right? You go, wow, like, look how humble these men were, right? That God would give that message to shepherds. He trusted the greatest thing that was going to happen, the birth of his son, to unnamed shepherds in a field. That says a lot, right? Man, it just... And they came with haste. You know, let's go! Right? That's humility. And found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known around the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they had heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. We never hear about those shepherds again, right? Never, right? Did God list them in some, you know, these amazing... No, there they are. No names given, right? You see, what's important is humility to God. God is the prime mover. God is the one that's important, right? And anybody who shows humility towards him, he will exalt, right? He will bless, right? Verse 21. And when eight days were accomplished, just like in John the Baptist's case, they were circumcised him, you know, shown later in life medically that the eighth day of a baby's birth is a time when the clotting ability is the greatest in a child. God probably knew that. Probably. For the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. You know, God had enough love for Joseph, because Joseph is the one responsible for naming that child. Mary knew well before that his name was Jesus, right? But when the angel appeared to Joseph, he told him his name was going to be Jesus, giving him the, you know, right as a man to name the son, right? That's how much love God had for Joseph, right? So, you know, Joseph, yep, that's his name. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him into Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Just a wonderful man, loved God. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Man, you know, look at the great statements made by this Simeon, this guy. You know, a guy who God said, you're gonna live until you see the Christ, right? Wow, what a great blessing for that man's life. You know, you might think, well, you know, that was done to bless Mary and Joseph. You know, God doesn't use people, right? That was done to bless Simeon. And that blessing on Simeon ended up blessing Mary and Joseph. Great, right? Wonderful blessings all around, right? God blessed Simeon. He told him, you're gonna be alive. Why? I don't know. Because maybe he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him. He was a devout man, loved God, just. Maybe he was humble a little bit, right? And so God said, I'm going to bless you, Simeon, right? And as a result, what he said, blessed Mary and Joseph. Wow. Verse 33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, because he's going to be killed, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. So she'd been married 7 years, and she was a widow of about four score and 4 years, 84 years. She hadn't been married. Her husband had died 84 years ago. So she's probably close to 100, right? Which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Look at the people that are around the birth of Jesus Christ. Just simple people, but those who had a great humility and love for God. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee and their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So glory to God in the highest, and in the highest, and on peace, earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Right, the birth of Jesus Christ. You know, surrounded by great men and women who loved God, who were humble to God. You know, great lessons for us to take on board. Right, you know, and that God would herald the birth of His Son, His only begotten Son, to simple shepherds in a field. Right, and that He would bless an old couple, Elizabeth and Zacharias, with a baby, right? To prepare the way of the Lord. And again, the great words they said when he was born, that God exalts those that are humble, not those that are prideful toward him. You know, what does it teach us? What does it teach us to live our life day by day like? What should we do, right? You know, be humble to him, right? And that means different things, whether you're a child, whether you're a husband, whether you're a wife, whether you're an adolescent. You know, it means different things to you in different times of your life, right? How to be humble towards God, right? But, you know, and I think it's a great record, man. It's just so many wonderful things happening around that record. So many wonderful men and women involved that loved God and had a great love for him, that it's great for us to take the time to read it, you know, and to get a bit of the accuracy around, you know, the various, you know, drummer boys and things that show up this time of year. It's nice to see what God had intended, you know, that one day at least, you know, again, you know, we can make fun of all the Christmas things, and don't tend to do that too much sometimes, but, you know, but we can make fun of it, but we ought to be thankful that, you know, people have centered life, and I know they got the time of the year wrong and all that, but they've centered the life, the calendar, around the birth of Jesus Christ, right? It's that important, right? That, you know, So we should just be thankful. You know, teach what we can, and make the Word of God known. And above all, just keep a humble heart towards our God, right? So.